It's time for a new episode of Hold the Mic with Jenna and Lexi.
Hold the mic.
Welcome back to Hold the Mic. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Lexi, and we're back for another episode. So we were gone for nationals and spring break, but we're back now, and we have not one but two special guests today.
So before we get into our interviews with our special guests, we are first going to get into our segments. So starting off with Game of the Week. Today, the Texas Rangers play the Los Angeles Angels at Angel Stadium of Anaheim. The Rangers have an 8-10 record and the Angels have a 9-6 record. So this should be a pretty good game.
Yeah, that should be a good one. So Game of the Week for me is actually happening tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights will take on the San Jose Sharks. The Knights and the Sharks kind of have a long-lasting rivalry since the Knights first became a team. And being from Vegas, I've kind of fallen in love with the Golden Knights, and the atmosphere at their games is just a lot of fun. They did beat the Sharks on Monday 3-2, so I'll definitely be rooting for them tonight.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. So next on our segments is our cheat sheet, which is fact about sport. So because of our special guest today, when it comes to tennis, there are different surfaces that tennis is played on. These are clay, grass, hard courts, and carpet. And then another fun fact is each surface affects the playing style of the game. On some surfaces, the ball moves faster, and on other surfaces, it moves slower.
Very exciting facts. So for our last segment before we get into our interview, it is who is on our radar. So with the Tokyo Olympics beginning this summer, starting July 23rd through August 8th, I chose to recognize Simone Biles, who will be competing at the Summer Olympics for gymnastics this year. She had her last all-around defeat come in 2013 and can become the first woman to win back-to-back Olympic all-around titles since 1968. She also can become the first U.S. woman in any sport to win 5 golds at a single games.
That's so cool. I love watching Simone Biles, and especially with the Olympics not being able to happen last summer, I'm really excited to be able to watch them this year.
Yeah, she's so talented.
I know. She's crazy talented. But so for my who's on my radar, Bobby Dalbec is a third baseman for the Boston Red Sox. He's originally from the Seattle area, and he went to the University of Arizona. He was drafted in 2016, but didn't make his first major league debut until 2020. I'm interested to see what he can do for the Red Sox, especially after we lost a lot of players like Andrew Benintendi and Mookie Betts and kind of cleared house. So bringing all these new players in, I'm excited to see what he can do.
Okay, now that our segments are over,
we have a 2-for-1 special today with our guest. So we have brought in 2 Boise State men's tennis team players, Kirill Krifchun and Wyatt DeMulling. And they're here to kind of just talk about themselves and tennis and all the things.
Yeah, so can we just start off with you guys kind of giving, like, an introduction to yourselves?
Yeah, for sure. So,
first,
I'll start off. my name is Kirill. I'm originally from Ukraine and moved to Canada when I was about 7 years old. So, I'm proudly Canadian and loving the States as of right now. So, I'm currently a redshirt junior and going into my senior year next year, just finishing up with the season right now, and yeah, just enjoying myself.
I'm Wyatt. I'm from Seattle, Washington. I'm a redshirt senior, so I'm almost done here at Boise State. Enjoyed my time, and about to start a professional tennis career, so I'm very excited for that. But yeah, I'm just enjoying it while it lasts.
So exciting. Thank you guys so much for coming. Like, we really appreciate you guys being on here.
Thank you for having us.
Wyatt, I want to start really quick. What is your tattoo on your arm?
Which one?
This one closest to me.
This one?
Yes.
It is the Lord's Prayer in Ancient Norse.
My family
background is from Norway.
Oh, cool.
And so it's kind of a tribute to my grandma. She's very religious. And she's just really big into our family background and everything. So I kind of thought that I would get it for her. And as well as I really liked how it looked. Yeah.
It's super cool looking. I really like that.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
So, Wyatt, you said that you are going pro. How's the kind of, like, draft process, not only from, like, high school or grade school to college, but also, like, from college to pro?
Well, for high school to college, there's a recruiting process. I think pretty much like how it is with every sport, collegiate sport at least. So you start that process whenever in high school, the coaches reach out to you. You reach out to coaches, do your research, obviously, get all your stuff done. I had a little bit of a difficult time since I went to online school my first year of high school. So it was definitely a journey getting to college. But from college to the pro tour, there's no recruiting process. There's no draft. You have to sign up for future tournaments, which is through the ITF. And see, after the, I mean, you just pretty much you have to sign up for these tournaments. Hopefully you get in, get into qualifying, and then you get into the main draw. And you have to win in order to be successful and then hopefully get sponsors and stuff like that. It's really difficult. It's not like you sign a contract right away, like the NFL draft. Not saying that's easy, of course, but like you sign $1 million contract and you're set. So
kind of bouncing off of Wyatt there. Like after I was done with high school initially, I wanted to go pro, and it sounds so appealing to everyone. Like it's such a fun experience. You get to travel and you get to play some cool tournaments, meet a lot of people, but you got to be really ready for it. And I think if anyone is, it's going to be Wyatt right now. Aww. So, yeah. But,
buddy.
Yeah, anytime, man. But, yeah, it's a really cool experience. Personally, for me, kind of derailed my college process. I'm a little older right now, and I took about a year and a half off after high school and, again, made it a bit of a journey getting here to Boise. So.
A little bit. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how did you come here?
So I actually visited here in 2015 before I decided to play some amateur events and ended up kind of screwing up my eligibility a little bit and went to 2 years of junior college. And during that time in my first year, I was in Palm Springs, loved it out there, loved the sun all year round. And
it's nice.
But then after a year, decided to move to Arizona because I met a coach during my time in my first school and got transferred over finally and spent the first 3 weeks training with him. And he actually got a job as the assistant coach at Boise State. So we finished up there. He moved out about 2 weeks after that and sent me an NLI right away. And I just signed on the spot there. So
that's awesome. That's such a cool story, you know, getting here. So what are, I know you're kind of talking about going pro after college. Are there any other options for tennis players to go?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always coaching. I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of players do once they're done with their college career, either staying in college or they go and teach at a country club or just on their own.
I mean, there's also the European tour or the European club tour.
Oh, yeah. Club tennis. Yeah, that's very true. Club tennis. I totally forgot about that. That's mainly only because we don't have that here. Really.
We don't have that in the States, but it's a big thing in Europe.
We don't get paid for it.
Most of the football clubs, they have like affiliate tennis programs within those clubs as well. And yeah, it's pretty cool. So, I mean, it keeps the team environment going.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, there are options besides just playing on the tour. So once I'm done, at least on the tour, however long that is, I definitely want to go into coaching, whether it's collegiate or personal or anything like that.
That's so super cool.
You were kind of talking about how there's like tournaments you can sign up for. When you guys are playing for Boise State, are you allowed to like play in outside tournaments and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. They we have to sign a form to make sure that, you know, we don't accept a certain amount of prize money or it only covers expenses and stuff like that. So we can play pretty much whatever tournament we want. We just have to be kind of smart with it.
Yeah, very cautious there. I think we're not allowed to take in any revenue. You're allowed to take it in before you get to college, but as soon as you're in the NCAA.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. So going off that, what is kind of like a day in the life for you guys?
You want to start that one off?
Sure. I'll start that off. I mean, it depends on what day it is for one. Yeah. But most of the time, I mean, wake up early and then go to weights in the morning. Our weights are at 8 a.m.
It's not bad,
8 to 9, it's not that bad. But me, I like my sleep. So, but so yeah, 8 a.m. you know, weights, and then usually after that, get a breakfast in there, and then see. Go to class for some guys. Me, I have all online classes right now, so that's kind of nice. So I can go back to my place and kind of hang out, relax for a little bit. And then probably after that, around noon, I get on the court with Ali or Coach Christian for an individual workout, or semi-indy with Lawrence or this guy or someone. And then team practice in the afternoon. And then after practice, stretch, roll out, try to take care of your body as much as possible. And then in the evening, relax a little bit, do some homework, of course. And then for me, it's just video games and movies, hanging out with my girlfriend. So, but yeah, that's really it for me.
More of the same for me. I'm in my like senior semester right now. It's my last semester of my program. So it's a lot of independent study time. So a lot of time for sleep.
like, sleep's a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Just pretty much the same, weights in the morning, and then have a few practices during the day, make sure to get my meals in. I've been cooking a lot at home recently, so that's been fun. But, yeah, make some time for friends as well. You know, all the usual stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. I think, Krill, you can kind of answer this one a little bit better. But for guys on the team who come from different countries, how do you guys deal with being so far away from home? Like, what does that look like?
I mean, it's tough. Like, my first 2 years were really tough to get used to, especially because – you get homesick. There's no way around it at the end of the day. And I think anyone who leaves home at this age really starts to feel it. But we have such a close family on the team that, like, you know, everyone else is going through the exact same thing. And there are times where you get to these points where you're just mentally kind of broken down because you want to be back home. You want to be with your old friends. And at the end of the day, like, the guys on the team pick you back up and they all make sure that you know that at the end of the day, like, we're going to be here to do our job. We're here to play tennis. We're here to have fun. And there are things in this environment that keep things really fun. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you guys talk about how you all are just, like, close as a team. And because your team is, I would say, smaller than, like, other programs at Boise State, do you feel like from the coaches or just, like, teammates, everything is a little more, like, personalized towards, like, you? Like, with workouts, or you feel that sort of, like...
With our sport, naturally, it is. It yeah. really is. Because it's so technical. I mean, there's a big physical aspect to it. And when yeah. we go into weights, then it's very, like, team-oriented. But as soon as we get into, like, practicing, there is such a big technique aspect to it that it's very individual. Everyone has different things. It's the four components are physical, mental, tactical, and... blanky right now, but God,
I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah,
I don't think about tennis in those terms. But
physical,
no, yeah.
tactical, and the tactic component of it. Everyone's just so different in that aspect that a coach has to take a very just different approach with everyone. So, yeah,
yeah, you can't coach everyone the same exact way. You
can no.
preach like the same culture and the same values and stuff, but every player is so individual. Tennis is such an individual sport, like. Real was saying, you know, it's I can be working on one thing during practice while he's working on something completely different. We can work together on it and trying to see how we can get that result. But, you know, it's very rare that we're both working on the same exact thing because he's usually going to be better at one thing than I am and then the other way around.
We all have one common goal at the end of the day, yeah. but we all just take our different roads getting there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So. No, that's so interesting. Like tennis is... It's really cool that it is like that, where it's still a team sport, but it's very individually based, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's really different for us at the end of the day, too, because yeah. we grow up playing completely individual, and then yeah. we get tossed into the NCAA, and yeah. it's a team environment. Like,
yeah, I gotta say. You're so focused on yourself and the juniors, yeah. and even when you're playing on the tour, like how you did mm-hmm. at first before college and everything. So once you get thrown... Like you said, in the NCAA, like, it's a totally different atmosphere. You got to learn to think as a team instead of just for yourself.
I mean, I bet Wyatt has stories on me at the end of the day of how I entered. I was very selfish at the beginning of my experience here at Boise, but over time, you learn how to be more and more of a team player. It's just, it's not natural for anyone.
It's an adjustment,
really.
For sure.
Big time, yeah.
No, and definitely. I feel like that kind of goes for other sports as well. 100%. Even, like, dance, too. Like,
there's people who, before they came here to be on like our team, they danced like individually. Mm. So they would compete individually, and then you come here and it's completely team based, you know?
Absolutely.
So you really have to learn to adjust when that's really all you're used to.
Also, quick shout out to Boise State Mainline. That was a huge result at Nationals. Congrats.
Thank you. So what is like the mindset between like, because there's singles and doubles, and then at the end of the day, they all like combine, right?
So do you want to explain how it kind of works?
It's scoring?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so start of the match, you always start with doubles. There's three doubles matches that go on, and whatever team wins two out of the three doubles matches gets 1 point. And then after that, you go into your six singles matches, and each singles match is worth 1 point. And it's the first to four. And it depends on if it's conference or non-conference. If it's clinch, then once a team hits 4 points, then match is done.
Done. Okay.
Everybody stops. Even if you're at match point, it doesn't matter. You're done. Unless you say that you're going to finish the match. So that's best way I can describe it, I feel like. Or
it's a little complex, but yeah. The one thing that I can take away from it is that doubles is super important.
Yeah,
getting that first point is just a huge momentum shift.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this year we've only won, like,
we've won a few doubles
points. We won most of our doubles points, but out of the big matches that we had in terms of conference,
we won against New Mexico.
We won against New Mexico. That was a big one. San Diego, we won that one, and then Gonzaga was the one that we lost, but that was the only big match where we lost a doubles point and then ended up winning the match still.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's a huge momentum shift, but yeah.
Who's your guys's, who would you guys consider your biggest, like, competitor?
New Mexico was.
Okay. Yeah. Really?
New Mexico, UNLV, Fresno. Oh, yeah,
I just read an article about that one.
Yeah, yeah, they're loud, they're very competitive, so.
They come in for blood, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. Oh, my God. Even Gonzaga, too.
Gonzaga was a big one.
Yeah, that was a huge one.
We've had like a little 3-year rivalry with them where we go back and forth. They played here 2 years ago. We played at Gonzaga last year, and this year they came to us. And last 2 years, they won 4-3 both times. And when you're in like college tennis, the score 4-3 is the most heartbreaking that you can get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to 3-all, and everyone's watching that one match, and all the pressure's on.
Yeah.
This is still really fresh in my head because I got clinched on last year where it came down. I think it was myself and my opponent. We were on the court on our own for like an extra hour on top of what everyone else did. And
yeah, we were there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I lost really early. So I was watching Kirill's match for a while. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, that 1 hour felt like it was longer. That hour I was on court there felt longer than the car ride back, which is never a good thing.
The car ride back was a long car ride.
It was like 6 hours.
Especially when it's 4-3, you're driving back, you're like,
it's silent in the car, coaches are irritated, want to know what they could have done better, what we could have done better, so
But anyways, we had a bit of a redemption arc this year where Wyatt came back and he took the clinching match against Gonzaga, that was huge.
Yeah, no, that was awesome, so that was finally got the 4-3 victory, or just the victory over Gonzaga. It was very satisfying for me, at least, coming back for one last year. So it was very nice.
That's awesome. Way to end it.
No kidding.
And then you guys have your final match against Utah State on Saturday. It's Utah State, right?
Yes.
Yep. How have you guys kind of been preparing for that, especially coming off this, like, win against New Mexico?
I mean, I would say same as always, really, just doing our own thing during practice, you know, staying focused, making sure we get our stuff done on and off the court, just really making sure our body and mind is prepared as much as possible.
Right now, I'm just recovering physically. We had 3 matches last weekend, so it's a lot. It takes a toll.
Yeah.
Most importantly, the coaches are just preaching that we're stretching, just getting physically prepared and recovering. We have some great trainers at Boise, so we're definitely using the facilities as much as we can. So,
Nick's
awesome.
We love Nick.
Yeah. Oh, shout out Nick. Nick Doe.
So, with being an athlete comes being a student athlete. How has that kind of been for you guys, being on the tennis team, but also having to really prioritize your grades because you have to stay on the team somehow, right?
Yeah.
It's,
they laugh.
I'm just looking all wired out for myself. I love it. I'm studying what I love, and
what's that?
Political science.
Okay.
I mean, it's been an interesting time to study it, but
yeah.
I'm from Canada. And it's just fascinated me this whole time. I mean, originally from Ukraine, I've moved around so much and I've seen just how different countries function. And moving here, I knew it was something I'd be passionate about. And I'm glad I made that decision because it's just made studying so much more fun. It's tough to balance at times. There's no question about that. But when you have the right people around you and you're in the right environment, I mean, we had Rylan McDermott last year, who is just the biggest book nerd ever. Oh my God.
I swear, I always saw that kid in the library.
He never left. That's his library at this point.
He, like, lived there.
Yeah. If his name isn't on there in the next 10 years, I'm going to be surprised.
Yes, that's so funny.
Yeah, so he kind of got us on that trend where everyone's taking school fairly seriously. And
I would agree.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's always been a love-hate relationship with school. So, but yeah, I mean, I would always make sure that I got my stuff done when I needed to. I was a communications major. I already graduated, so I just came back and took some random classes.
Yeah, totally.
I was going to pursue a master's degree, but at the end of it, I was like, nah.
Too much school.
Too much school. I don't want to, you know, that. Yeah, just with that. But, I mean, I mainly came to college for tennis instead of the actual schooling part, so I just chose a degree that I knew that I was going to be able to do well. Mm-hmm. And not struggle that much with. But yeah, like I said, it's been a love-hate relationship with school for me. So I'm very happy that it's coming to an end now, finally. So, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just important that you get your stuff done. Make sure you're on top of everything.
Stay organized at the end of the day. Keep a planner. Absolutely.
That's
make it as simple as possible.
Yeah. Why did you end up here at Boise State? What did that process
How did I
look
end
like?
Up here?
Yeah.
So I was recruited by the former coach, Greg Patton. He brought me, he recruited me when I was just about to be a senior in high school. Okay. I was brought on a visit here at the end of 2015. God, it seems so long
ago. I know, 2015, that was like forever.
I was like a freshman in high school.
That was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
2015, 2016. Fun fact, I'm the oldest guy on the team.
Nice.
Good. So, but yeah, he brought me on a visit here in 2015. I fell in love with the school immediately. I loved the atmosphere. Everybody was super nice. I loved the guys on the team. He recruited me, but then, like I said earlier, I had some problems with the NCAA with being eligible because I was in online school my freshman year of high school, and I was a half a credit short.
Half?
Yes, half. Not even a full credit. I was a half credit short, so they thought that I cheated with some of my grades, which I did not. My mother would never, ever let me cheat anything. So I had to, as well, like Kirill, go to junior college for a year and a half, and then I transferred my second semester of my sophomore year of college, and I was able to come here, play for Patton for 1 year, and then... he stepped down, and then now Christian and Ali are our coaches. So that's roughly my journey to Boise State. So I played 1 year for junior college and then came here. So
nice.
Definitely worth it. Yeah. Very happy that I ended up here.
That's awesome. Okay, Kirill, I found some facts about you.
Okay.
I hear that you won the Canadian U16 National Championship in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That's pretty awesome.
God, a long time ago now. It's crazy to think about, but that was something that I dreamt about since I was, like, God, for as long as I've been playing tennis, and I felt like every single day I, like, trained and worked out when I was in junior, it kind of led to that moment.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And after that, I was on the biggest high I could possibly be on. It was super cool, and that's kind of what prompted me to go pro for a little bit.
Yeah.
And... yeah, just looking back at it, one of my favorite, like, probably memories in tennis to this day.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was a cool experience there.
Okay, but adding on to that, in 2015, you ranked in the top three as a U18 player.
Yeah, another pretty cool accomplishment, I guess.
You kind of killed it.
It was a good junior career. I was really enjoying myself at that time. It was my senior year of high school, and I kind of had a feeling I knew what I was going to be doing after. So everything was just super easy. I was relaxed and just enjoying myself. So kind of where I'm at right now with tennis.
Yeah.
And Boise State's just made it such a fun journey that I'm kind of in the same headspace and the results are coming. So I can't complain. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is that I've actually known Kirill much longer than you guys think.
Okay, okay, tell us.
We've known each other since the juniors as well.
Okay.
And so, yeah, this guy won everything.
Oh, wow.
He would come to the PNW, play our junior tournaments from Canada, and we didn't really like it, but, you know, because he just came down and he's just like, I'm going to whoop you guys 0-0. It'll be no big deal, and I'm going to go back to Canada. So, but no, he was a very, very good junior player.
Take the trophy and run.
Yes. But, yeah, I was always wondering, I'm like, who is this guy? I always thought he was much older than he actually is.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, you were a very, very good junior player.
You still have some years on me, Wyatt. Come on.
That's funny. So coming to Boise State, did you guys, like, know each other, like, recognize, like, oh, he's the kid that, like...
Yeah, we actually talked, before you even signed, we talked to each other, was it tournament in Arizona?
And yeah,
you
were thinking- I think Wyatt was a big part of the reason I actually came here, so... Aww. Yeah, we were at a tournament in Arizona, I was still playing for Mesa Community College at the time, and Wyatt was already at Boise State, and I think we were in the same draw, just opposite sides.
Yeah.
And after our matches, I was already talking to Coach Holly, who is the assistant at Boise State. He actually, this gets me heated a little bit, but he left Mesa after about 3 weeks of me getting there. And the first tournament he coached for Boise State at was the Arizona tournament. Oh. And I'm playing it as well. So it's like, wow, former coach just betrayed me. I got to kick his butt a little bit. Uh-huh. And I had a doubles match, 8 a.m. We just drove from... I think it was Mesa to Tucson, 2-hour drive, get in, I look at the draw, we're playing Boise State first round. So, match made in heaven there. Anyways, I got my butt kicked, but.
Did you play Ryland and Arca?
We played Ryland and Arca, Wait, so, first crazy. Match, Coach Ollie's coaching against me, that was terrifying, but then right after that, I had a quick chat with him, all was good, and talked to Wyatt for like a couple hours that day, so.
Yeah, we talked. Once, like, the day was done and everything with the tournaments or with the matches at the tournament, we talked for a couple hours, I think.
Yeah. Anyways, so I think I was getting recruited by a few other schools, but after I had that chat with Ali and Wyatt, I was pretty sold, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
awesome. Pretty simple.
That's so cool. I have to bring this up because I see it everywhere. Would you guys like to explain the Court 5 Mafia?
Oh, no.
I'm going to let Kirill take this one because I don't really
You
know.
Were there. You were playing a match beside Court 5 Mafia.
Was next. Yeah.
You got this one. Come on. You were there.
Did I play number 5 or number 6?
You played number 6 that day, but you were the court beside them. I wasn't playing that day.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, you got this. Come on. Have fun.
I'm intrigued.
I don't really know where the name came from exactly or where that developed from, but is it from Lawrence's?
Lawrence's court. We have
is it his frat though, or is it the golf
fraternity? Call it what it is.
It's a frat.
It's a fraternity. So
fraternity.
It's not about the fraternity, but Lawrence is good friends with Connor Johnstone, who's on the golf team, and he brought out a bunch of his buddies, the Sig Chi boys. And they know how to have fun on a Sunday. So it was a Sunday match. We're playing Montana State, and Lawrence invites all the boys out, a couple of girls as well, of course, and we have just packed row. Like, the bleachers are packed, but specifically behind Court 5. So from there, it became Court 5 Mafia because it is just probably the loudest court you can be on. I want to say in college tennis, personally.
That's where the whole crowd was, in all honesty. Like, you have the other 5 courts to watch, but everybody was watching Lawrence's court, and he was... God, he was so tight that day.
But anyways, Court 5 has enough noise to cover the entire campus. Perfect. Pretty much. That's it's good. So cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was very loud, but it was awesome to experience. So I was right next to it.
Are they going to make their debut on Saturday?
Oh, absolutely. I think they will. They were there this weekend too. Yeah.
Maybe we'll join Court 5 Mafia.
Yeah, we'll join. Yeah, we'll be there.
It's open.
That's so funny. So in general, how has your guys' experience been just at Boise State? Just overall?
Awesome. I have had an amazing time playing for Boise State under 2 different head coaches. I felt like my game has improved so much since coming to college. And, I've built friendships with my teammates that I know are going to last forever. I've met so many great people. Even before coming to Boise State, just being in college in general, when I played in Irvine, met so many great people. So yeah, I mean, but definitely here at Boise State, it's been so much fun. I'm going to miss it a lot. I'll still be here, training and working and stuff while I'm trying to plan the tour and stuff. So, but yeah, no, it's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been an absolute dream come true for me. I mean, initially I didn't think I was going to get the opportunity to play Division I tennis, but luckily everything fell into place and I've just been soaking up every single second I've had on campus. Like I said, I visited here in 2015, I guess. Wow. And I instantly fell in love with the campus, instantly fell in love with just everything Boise. And I'm just thankful I got 2 years here already and I get one more next year. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah. That's cool. When you guys aren't playing tennis, what do you kind of do in your free time?
You want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You got it.
I play lots of video games with our coach, actually. we text each other all the time asking games with a question mark. Play lots of Fortnite.
That's what a connection.
I know. Yeah, well, that's actually how him and I actually got really, really close. That's outside awesome. Of the tennis court. So he's one of my really good friends, even like besides being a coach. So that's really nice. Makes the relationship a lot better on the court.
Yeah.
When I'm not doing school, I mean, I watch a lot of TV shows, watch a lot of movies. My girlfriend and I are currently binge watching Shameless. So quite the interesting show. But yeah, that's a lot of what I do when
just relaxing.
Yeah, a lot of relaxing nice. Stuff. I try not to have too much stress. So,
yeah, same thing, just kind of filling my day up with extracurriculars. At the end of the day, just hanging out with friends, you know, usual, enjoying like Boise, going downtown as much as possible, just hanging out there. And yeah, that's about it. Also, video games here and there, I try to jump on, but I'm not as good as this guy, so don't like to embarrass myself too much.
Trash.
Yeah.
I've played video games for way too long and I haven't improved anything, so.
But yeah, no.
But thank you, though.
Anytime.
So, in terms of being a college athlete, how has that been on mental health?
This year's been a battle. I mean, it's been a tough year for everyone. Obviously, yeah. COVID's changed so much.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been really enjoying the spring. Mm-hmm. It's been so different with COVID and just every week with the constant testing, there's so much pressure with that. Like I had a really rough week 2 weeks ago when all the guys got to go to Fresno State and I think it was Reno as well. And I think it was Tuesday. I already had COVID back in like November. So everything felt pretty calm, but still there's a little bit of doubt in the head at the end of the day and came back with a late positive. So I was meant to get retested 2 days after, got another test on the next day and got a negative and had one more test. I was going to get cleared. The guys already left to Reno and I was going to get a later flight that day.
Yeah.
And got another late positive. So it took me out of the whole weekend, unfortunately. And I mean, there have been moments like that where other guys on the team have also had issues in that regard. And it's made things really tough. But at the end of the day, like we all have each other's backs and I think everyone's gone through a low of some sorts with sports accumulating with school. It builds up. There's no way around it. Everyone's going to have their moments. But at the end of the day, like all you can do is really keep your head up and try to enjoy yourself as much as possible. We have been enjoying ourselves. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, like I said, fall was really tough not having any competition. But the fact that we have something to look forward to every weekend right now makes things amazing.
Yeah.
And now we have summer to look forward to as well. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember being in the van when we heard that you got the second late positive and we were devastated. Like, I mean, Kirill is a key player on our team for sure. I mean, he's one of our best competitors. So we were really devastated hearing that he wasn't going to be able to come for the Reno and Fresno matches. Cause I mean, those were two really important matches that we had this season. But, you know, with the mental health, mental toughness stuff with all the COVID things going on, you know, that was a perfect example of us, you know, since Krell couldn't come, it's like, all right, well, we have to kind of, you know, buck up and, figure it out how to win as a team. We did for Nevada, Fresno. It was such a close match with every person, everybody that played. So But yeah, I mean, in the fall, it was a little different for me. I was actually not here. I had some family stuff going on with COVID and other health issues with my grandparents. So, you know, that was always really tough to deal with and then play tennis on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always just constantly making sure that you're in the right mindset. You are prepared to do everything that you can every day. But yeah, I mean, just mainly make sure you're in the right mindset every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try and perform your best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great to like acknowledge, you know, because yeah. I feel like a lot of people kind of just disregard the fact that like, yeah, student athletes, like they're kind of almost like glamorized in yeah. a sense, you know, absolutely, like yeah. being an athlete at the collegiate level. And you're like, you have so much more on your plate besides that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
Every day is just exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, by the end of the day,
you guys understand that yeah. quite a bit. Like, I can imagine you dance for a good part of the day, right? Like yeah. working out
and everything.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
See, we don't even have that kind of pressure.
Sound nice.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
I mean, I'd say let's train, but 6 a.m. sounds yeah. terrible. God.
Yeah. Once we're done, by the end of the day, it's, I just want to go to bed. I want to make dinner and go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, it's tough. But really it's worth it. It's fun.
That's good.
Just being in the right environment is everything, having the right people around you and making sure that you have people that support you. That's what gets you through these 4 years quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Has having fans now at like your guys' matches and stuff, how has that been? Like, has that helped a lot with this crazy season?
I think it's been actually one of the most important things to our matches. Mm-hmm. We're currently undefeated at home, and hopefully we keep that going through Saturday. And when you have
knocked on wood.
Say it out loud.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, when you have crowds like the Court 5 Mafia showing up, it
yeah.
makes everything so much fun. It's just an electric environment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely it was weird at the beginning of the season playing indoors and not having people show yeah. up. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, it kind of threw it back to junior days for me where you don't really have a lot of people watching.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely as the season has gone on and people being able to come out and watch and support and everything, it kind of, it feels normal, mm-hmm. you know? So that's a nice feeling to have, especially since playing out at Appleton now. It's like, I was kind of curious when we first played our first match if they were going to allow people out there.
Yeah.
So, and once we got the approval for that, I mean, I was excited, you know, you can play with the crowd and, you know, get them really involved, just like Court 5 Mafia, really, you know. So, but yeah, no, I love it, and I think it's a big and crucial part of tennis for sure.
Yeah, it's
the crowd.
I think it's surprising to a lot of people because tennis, when you watch it on TV, it's such a respectful sport.
This is what yeah. I was gonna ask you, okay?
Okay, oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like on tennis or on TV, tennis is so like quiet, and then you
proper.
Have the quiet claps, you know what I mean? And it's like, is that yeah. correct? Mm.
Well, on the pro
yes
tour,
and no?
yes, okay. I think it's very like respectful. You watch Wimbledon, for example, which is the English crowd. It's
yeah.
so classy. Everyone's yes. so posh and yeah.
little
super
golf
respectful.
Clap after.
Exactly.
That's exactly like, what I was saying. That's why when you said about Court 5 Mafia, I was like, "Whoa, are they allowed to do that? Like
so,
loud cheers? What?"
Yeah, we. The only I would, I mean, even on the pro tour, I mean, there's not really heckling or anything like that. But
no. sports with, bettors do with, heckle quite a bit, but. Yeah. about it.
But I mean with I would say with the pro tour the only proper tournament is really Wimbledon. All the other tournaments the crowd's gonna be loud, but they're not
it's
they're not gonna
like,
get in your face though
yeah.
like
yeah.
like
which
what?
Actually does happen in college. You'd be surprised. It's
man.
Like
really
yeah
there's a lot of heckling that goes on. I mean when we went to UNLV definitely got heckled there quite a bit.
Oh, we are gonna
but oh, sorry, not UNLV. My bad. My bad.
I
mean, it's just, no, they did a good job. It's like within the rules and everything. So
yeah.
if you want to get into your opponent's face, you can in tennis, sadly. And it makes it a lot of fun. It's just an extra bit of edge to the game because it's not something we're used to in the junior game. Like, again, everything's super respectful.
Yeah,
people get really irritated when you do that in the juniors.
Yeah, and then...
Especially parents.
In college, it's expected, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one
parents
thing...
Parents still get agitated, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the one thing that I've really, really enjoyed once I got to college is, like, I could finally, like, be loud.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when I play, I'm probably one of the loudest people out there sometimes. Oh, yeah,
no question about it.
Maybe a little excessive sometimes, but...
But it has to make it more enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
More fun.
Yeah, 100%. It's a lot of fun. And, but yeah, that's the thing about college tennis. You can get in your opponent's face if you want to, and I think it's fun when they do it back in a respectful way, because me, yeah, I'm never going to do it to my opponent to just be an ass, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot more enjoyable when they do it too. When I play against a guy that's really quiet, I'm like, oh man, come on, man, give me something. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then when the crowd gets involved, whether it's for or against you, you know, as long as it's respectful, I enjoy it. I just embrace it and just enjoy the moment. So
that's awesome.
See why it's really respectful. I like to get in my opponent's face quite a bit. It's so much fun. I mean, we had UNM come out last week, I guess, and they are so loud. They're ready to get into your face. They're just shouting things left, right, and center in between points. And I wasn't playing doubles that day, so I was watching and getting like kind of prepared, and it gets intimidating even with the home crowd. So it's such a big component of the whole game in the NCAA. Makes it fun. It's a different environment.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No. I remember my first 2 years of college with heckling and stuff. It was, yeah, that was, it took me out of it, and it took me time to get used to it and just be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's part of the sport. So. Yeah.
Last question before we wrap it up. What is the culture like within the team? So like what do your guys as coaches, pretty much like promote to you guys, or what do you guys kind of, what's the culture like between all of you?
I would say show up every day and give your best, check your ego at the door.
Oh, I love that.
And just make sure that you get your stuff done.
Yeah, simply put, just keep a blue collar attitude every single day. That's kind of the slogan of Boise State.
Very Boise State of you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But we keep it going.
That's awesome. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Alrighty. Well, good luck to you guys on Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us. And I think that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. We'll hopefully be part of
Court 5 Mafia.
Court 5 Mafia.
We'll be there. But thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll hopefully talk to you next week. Right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on Hold the Mic.
Be sure to follow our Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook accounts at Hold the Mic Podcast.